This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Dr. Tim Ball, who is a former professor of climatology at the University of Winnipeg, and he's one of the leading scientific voices who are calling into question many of the claims made by those pushing the climate change movement. We want to get his thoughts on a couple of major developments in this debate. First of all, the story we reported to you late last week about a column in the London Daily Telegraph showing that the raw data used to move forward the theory of global warming was corrupted in many different ways, and intentionally so. We also want to get his thoughts on a new report from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, sponsored by the United Nations, suggesting that greenhouse gases were even higher in their levels than expected in 2008. And Dr. Ball, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you, Greg, and thanks for the opportunity.
Well, let's start with the report from the Telegraph. Basically, what they're saying here in this column by Mr. Dellingpole is that the data was manipulated, falsified, statistics from different years moved around to try and get to a conclusion that would have the greatest impact. It's obviously data that you understand better than I do, and probably most of our listeners who aren't very scientific do. How big of a bombshell is this?
It's an atomic bombshell. And as I wrote in one article, this isn't just the smoking gun, this is a whole battery of machine guns. And what you've got here is that somebody obtained, and there's a debate about how it came out, whether it was a hacker or whether it was a whistleblower, somebody inside that just couldn't take what was going on anymore, released 61 megabytes of files, which includes emails between these people who operate at the Climatic Research Unit with their director, Phil Jones. Now, listeners might be familiar with Jones because he's the guy that claims in his IPCC report that global temperatures went up 0.6 degrees or 1 degree Fahrenheit in 100 years, and claimed that was beyond anything that could occur naturally. But, of course, he's also consistently refused to disclose how he came up with that number, and is still doing so today. So it's that kind of action that I think would have triggered somebody to hack into the files, or for a whistleblower to say, no, we can't take any more of these lies. So that's what's going on here. And it isn't just the data. Dellingpole does a good job, and of course he's been writing in The Spectator and The Telegraph for some time. In fact, he did a piece on Ian Plimmer's book. But it isn't just the fact that they were manipulating the data. It is the attacks on skeptics, deliberately orchestrated. It was the attacks on editors, one editor who refused to go along with their attempts to control the peer review process, and they actually got the guy fired. What we're seeing so far in the media, and I've read a great many of the emails, there's many, many more stories to come out, but we're to be coy about it, we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg. And by the way, just to illustrate that point, Greg, there is a big name in their emails between him and Michael Mann, who, of course, was of hockey stick fame, and that's John Holdren, who is, of course, the Obama's science czar. So this is going to trickle out, and as I said to you, we had an atomic bomb exploded, but the mainstream media slept through it, and that in itself is an absolutely shameful situation.
Dr. Ball, does it appear to you that this was entirely intentional, or was there a genuine belief at one point, and then the data just wasn't going their way, and so they had to keep their side of this issue going?
That's a very good question, and as I have tried to explain all along, it's deliberate. I mean, it stems out of, and of course Holdren was involved in it, the Club of Rome, and limits to growth and all of that, and then of course Maurice Strong, who orchestrated the United Nations Environment Program, out of which came the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, for which he wrote the terms of reference. And one of the things that listeners will know is politicians love it, commissions of inquiry, because they take the heat off of them. They can say, oh, an independent group or a person is looking at this, and we can't, and then the media are pushing. They say, oh, sorry, we can't comment until the report's out. But I know, as having chaired commissions, the very first one I was assigned to look at, they control the commissions of inquiry by writing the terms of reference. And if you recall, or your listeners recall, the Warren Commission, they asked about, I think it was the mafia connection in Dallas. And Judge Warren said, well, it wasn't in my terms of reference. So the first terms of reference I was given, I said to the minister, I can't possibly even begin to look at this, let alone come up with a solution. You've tied my hands. And he said, well, sorry, that's the way it is. And I said, no, I'll go to the media and tell them what you're doing. Well, I guess he decided that that was a bigger threat than letting me try and resolve this problem properly.
Two quick questions before we let you go, Dr. Ball. First of all of this is coming out, at least for those who are reporting it, just a couple weeks now before Copenhagen. A few weeks ago, we were talking about Prime Minister Gordon Brown saying there are 7 weeks left to save the planet. How does this impact what the world leaders may do or may not do in Copenhagen in next month?
Well, it at this point, it won't have a lot of impact because it's already out there that China and India are just simply not going to play along. And so Copenhagen will simply be a face-saving exercise. They'll come out with their usual diplomatic communique that says nothing. And it's just all a fluff. But what's important is, of course, that as time goes on and people like me who know the history and know how these people have done it can start explaining to the public what they're doing and how they've done it. For example, just very quickly, Ken Briffa, who's at the heart of the hockey stick thing, he said, I tried hard to balance the needs of the science and the IPCC, which were not always the same. I mean, that's the most incredible statement where he's saying that what's in the IPCC is not science, and that they've got different objectives. So it's post-Copenhagen that's going to be really, really interesting.
And Dr. Ball, very quickly, we just heard on Monday from the IPCC, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, that the rates of greenhouse gas and carbon dioxide emissions for 2008 were actually much higher than predicted. They say that points to an even greater need for urgent action. You say it means exactly the opposite. Why?
Well, it means exactly the opposite because they have claimed that if CO2 increases, the global temperature will go up, and that's built into their computer models. There's two difficulties with it. One, there is not a single record of any duration of any time anywhere in the world in which CO2 causes a temperature increase. In every record, it's the other way around. For example, the ice core record in Antarctica, 400,000 years, temperature changes before CO2. And also, since 2002, CO2 levels have continued to rise, but the temperature's gone down, which is in complete contradiction to the major assumption of the theory that humans and their CO2 are causing global warming. So this is the difficulty with that, and their statement, unless you understand what they're actually saying, is another of these diversions, if you want, that these people are playing.
Dr. Ball, fascinating stuff. I'm sure we'll be talking again as we get closer to Copenhagen. Thanks, as always, for your time.
Thank you again for the opportunity, Greg.
Dr. Tim Ball, former professor of climatology at the University of Winnipeg. I'm Greg Corumbus at Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.